Thank you, Davila family. We appreciate you singing for us. Pray for Ms. Davila's father. He isn't doing very, very good, and he certainly needs our prayers. He's on our prayer list that you got Wednesday night. Well, we're glad to have Brother, here you go, take this for me. I believe that's this. Brother Steve Vellante with us. Brother Vellante is our church missions director, and we thank the Lord for that. I wish I could take you to Tetchamon and go there in Ghana, West Africa, where he's done such a superb job. God has done it through him. They have a main church there. It is a powerful church, a strong church, and an exemplary church. And they have 10 churches they've started in the city, right in around the city of Tetchamon, and then 10 others in that general area, maybe some 50 miles or 60 miles away or whatever. So he's a church planter, and God has used him tremendously over there. And, boy, I'm telling you, if you could ever get to go over there on one of these short-term missions trips, your heart will be blessed when you see what God has done and what God is still doing. And we thank God so much for Brother Vellante. So he's going to come now and preach for us. Get your Bibles ready. And he uses longer outlines than I do, so that's all right. Amen. He's going to preach the Word of God, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor.
We had a missions trip scheduled for Worth, but the Ebola kind of scared Pastor Gillett and I and put it on the delay. So I'm praying that while I'm here, Pastor Gillett and I will make plans for the next trip from Worth Baptist Church over to be with us, and I pray you'll be thinking about that and planning to come on that trip. I want to thank Dr. Weaver for giving me this opportunity tonight. We love to come to Worth. Thank you so much, Mark and Flossie, for letting me stay with you. I went and opened my big mouth and told her I was on a diet, and that was a disaster because she's not treating me like she used to treat me. And so I've let the cat out of the bag, and now I'm suffering for that because before I was just getting it laid on me, and I had to be polite and eat it. I told my wife I don't want to offend her, and that's where I am. And thank you so much, Jimmy and Linda, for allowing me to use your car while I'm here, and really looking forward to our missions conference. Been praying that God would bless the missionaries in our church, that there would be a great movement of His Spirit in our midst during this conference. So often we are dealt with this phrase that's becoming common in our society, and it's, what's your status? And if someone just says that to you, it takes you off guard, but most of you are looking at that every day when you look at your Facebook or something like that. And we have an answer for what's your status. And I want us to think about tonight our status and missions. We have our theme for our missions conference is called what? One Mission. And what if we were to ask, what's our status on the One Mission? What's our status? Normally when you're asked your status, it's your relationship status. And it's things like, are you single? Are you in a relationship? Are you married? Are you divorced? And one of those status things you could pick, looking for a miracle. And then there was one thing called other. And when you click other, you get to write in what that other status is. And a man wrote in there, in love with baseball. That's his status, in love with baseball. Sorry for his wife. One lady looked at her Facebook page and she read status. And it says in the little box, what's on your mind? And she wrote this, sick of crying, tired of trying. Yes, I'm smiling, but inside I'm dying. I find it very interesting that if people are willing to post the most personal things on their Facebook status that they're not sharing with their closest friend or someone who could help them. And it's like this information is going out into cyberspace. And there are bereaved people that use Facebook to talk to the dead. I didn't know you could do that, but we do that. We talk to the dead on Facebook. I thought it was strange when I would go to the cemetery and talk to my wife at the tombstone, you know. I go there and talk to her. I know she can't hear me, but I talk to her anyways. And you do that. You can go to the graveside and talk to someone, but now you don't even have to waste your time going to the cemetery. You just get on Facebook, and somehow the deceased has a Facebook page to read that and keep up with you with what you're doing. And so I want to ask us tonight to think about what's our most important status, our most important relationship status. And I think if you were to look at people and they would honestly put their status, you would read things like this: lost in sin and miserable, angry with God and running from Him, preoccupied with self and absorbed with pleasure, overwhelmed with life and need help, deceived by the devil and wasting my life. But there would be some that would post like this: engaged to Christ and getting ready for the wedding, burden for the lost, souls in need of a Savior. What is our status? What is our status tonight as we meet? And we know that this coming week is our Faith Promise Missions Conference. One day, Satan gathered all the demons together to design a strategy to cripple the church from accomplishing the one mission given to us by Jesus Christ. He opened the floor and gave each demon an opportunity to share his idea. And the first demon said, "Let's tell them there's no heaven." "No," Satan replied, "they will never buy that." Another shouted, "Let's lie and tell them that God is too loving to send anyone to hell." "No," Satan replied, "they know that God is holy." Another shouted, "Let's lie to them and tell them there is no God." "No," Satan replied, "He has put a knowledge of Himself in them." Another shouted, "Let's lie and tell them there are many ways to God." "No," Satan replied, "they will see right through that." Then one demon whispered, "Let's tell them there's no rush. There's no urgency. Let's tell them to relax and enjoy their lives. Let's entice them with leisure and entertainment and fun. Let's occupy their every waking moment with sporting events, new movies, breaking news reports, lively parties, and endless meetings. They will long to do God's will in taking the news to a lost and dying world, but they will lack the time and the energy to get it done because their lives will be so full they won't be able to squeeze God in." That is Satan's strategy today. Though Satan didn't agree with all the other demons, I think he just said, "Let's do them all." Because that's what's going on in the world today. Every one of these strategies is in vogue in spiritual warfare. And the church is being crippled because these are the lies being told to us that are crippling us from our one mission. It seems that Satan has lulled us to sleep and we think there is no urgency. Every believer can be involved in the one mission by responding correctly to the three requirements of urgency. We're going to look at these three requirements tonight, the three requirements of urgency. I will ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we have the story of the woman at the well. Jesus was on a missions trip. He was traveling from Jerusalem and he would go through Samaria on his way to Judea. And he was on a mission. He had a missions vision for what he would do in Samaria. The story goes that he comes to the well and he's alone because his disciples have gone to the city to find food. And there alone at the well, a woman comes to gather water at the hottest part of the day. She came when no one else would be there. She came and she drew her water and Jesus asked her for water. She culturally told him no, because it's not polite to just say no. So she said it like this: "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for water?" That's a polite way to say no. Get your own water. And a discussion ensued and this lady came to know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And in that conversation between the two of them, Jesus was sowing seeds. He was sowing a bucket full of seeds in this one woman. And He would send her like a raven to the city to broadcast that seed. And so this is what's going on in the background. Jesus has met with the woman at the well. The disciples had gone to get food. The lady runs back to tell people about the Messiah. And the disciples come back to meet Jesus. And we pick up in John chapter 4, verse 31. We begin reading 31. It says, "In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, 'Master, eat.'" Now this isn't a tough assignment. His disciples had gone to get food, and when they came back, they offered their master food, and they said, "Jesus, we went to get food. Here's the food we get. Now, Jesus, eat this food that we have purchased for you." I kind of wonder why it took all 12 men to go get the food and why Jesus was left alone. I just think about things like that. I don't know about you. But when I travel with my men to go on an assignment, they never leave me alone. I don't know if they're afraid I'll get lost or what. But they never leave me alone. If someone goes to get food, someone stays with me. But these guys must not have agreed on what food to get, and everybody wanted to make their own order at Chick-fil-A or what. But they all went to get the food, and Jesus stayed at the well alone. And now they've come back, and I don't know if they've been snacking in their bags on the way, but they get back to Jesus, and they're encouraging Him to eat. But see, Jesus has a focus right now. Jesus had been sowing seeds in a woman, and He knew that there was going to be a harvest in a short time. Because that lady had gone to do something, and she was bringing a great crowd back to Jesus. And Jesus was an anticipation of a great meeting with all of those people that this woman would bring. They didn't know anything about that. If you back up a few verses, and you see that when the disciples came in verse 27, they came, found Jesus speaking to the woman, and it says, "And upon this, his disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' Or 'Why talkest thou with her?' The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, 'Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this what? The Christ." Her meeting with Jesus totally convinced her she had found the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews. And she knew He was a Jew, because remember when He asked for water, she said, "What? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan." She knew who He was. He's the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews. And now she's gone back and she's given this message. But in the meantime, the disciples are saying to Jesus, "Eat." Now here's the first rule of urgency. Urgency requires a sacrifice. Did you hear me? Urgency requires a sacrifice. We cannot go through life thinking we have this urgent command from God to get the gospel to the end of the earth, but we will never sacrifice to get it done. Our Savior was very focused on His mission, and He had come to make Himself a living sacrifice for us. He would be the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. But even while He's alive, He's on a mission to go from Jerusalem to Judea, and He passes through Samaria, and He has sowed seed in a woman, and He knows it's coming time for harvest. And they're saying, "Master, eat." Now listen to how He responds. 32. "But He said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that you know not of.'" Can I tell you that when you're obeying God, something special happens in your life? There's a lot of things that we think we need. We actually think we need to eat 3 times a day. No amen? Some of you are on 4 and 5, but I just was gentle and I said 3. Some of us think it's a necessity to eat 3 times a day, and if we don't, we're in trouble. But there's people around the world, they do not eat 3 times a day. They eat maybe once a day, one meal a day. And we find out what necessity really is. And you say to someone, "You need to sacrifice." Sacrificing is missing a meal for some people. Jesus was traveling and He was very focused on what He was doing. While the disciples were focused on the food, He was focused on a harvest. And so they said, Master, eat. And he says, you guys don't know something. I have meat that you don't know anything about. And they're confused about this statement. So they say in verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They can't get their mind around this, that Jesus is okay with skipping a meal because he's focused on doing something very urgent, something very important. It's a small thing for him to sacrifice a meal because he's on target, he's on focus, he's doing something. And they're thinking, well, someone must have brought him something to eat because nobody skips a meal, right? But he was focused on the task at hand. He had some urgency about this woman at the well that he had come to meet with. And I want you to see how he answers them when they begin asking themselves, has someone brought him food that we don't know about? Listen to Jesus. Jesus saith unto them, my meat. Did you hear that? My nourishment, my strength, my source. Listen to what he says. My meat is to do what? The will of him that sent me. And to what? Finish his work. Can I tell you something? If Jesus had a Facebook page, you know what his status would be? His status would be this. Doing his will, finishing his work. That's what he just said, right? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is Jesus' Facebook page. I'm here by the well, witnessing to a woman that I might have a harvest of souls. What are all the disciples posting? Going to town to find some food. And they're posting the size of the hamburger. You don't know how big the Samaritans have these big old camel hamburgers. And they're impressed with the food that they've bought and they're bringing it back, right? And we get excited about some insignificant things and we think some of the insignificant things we're doing are so important, we forget that urgency requires a sacrifice. And Christ looked at them with their preoccupation with food and he says, I have meat to eat that you don't know about. You don't understand the thing that sustains me. My strength is to do the will of him that sent me. Would to God in our church that we would get so excited about doing mission work that we would literally say, doing the work of God is the source of my strength. It's the source of my nourishment. It is meat to me to do the will of the Lord. We don't cry baby about having to serve the Lord like it's the worst thing that ever happened to us. It's the greatest thing. It's why we're here. It lights us up. It's our nourishment. It's the best meal we ate all day to be about our Father's business. Lest you forget, he had been in the desert before, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was told by another being to hurry up and eat some bread that were stones at the time. And what did he say to that temptation? Man shall not live by what? But by what? Listen, Jesus never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was on track in the wilderness when he was fasting, and he's still on track when he's traveling up to Judea. He's on focus, and he knows that I'm here to do what? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Then he said before he left, as the Father, help me, as the Father, even so, listen, are we on task? Do we understand that urgency requires sacrifice? I don't know what it is, but people say, I want to serve the Lord, but I don't want it to cost me anything. I surely want a great crown in heaven, but I surely don't want a cross. We don't want the cross, we just want the crown. We want the award, but we don't want the sacrifice. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we've got to get on target. If we're going to accomplish our one mission, we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. And I'm asking you tonight, would you think about this year? Would you think about the missionaries that are coming? And would you covenant with God tonight and say, God, show me what you want me to sacrifice for the advancement of the one mission? Because I know I need to sacrifice. And if you don't think you need to sacrifice, then be honest and say it's not urgent. When I was a boy growing up, they used to tell us the statistics that every 8 seconds somebody dies. I checked it on the internet today, and now they're saying that every 5 seconds, somebody dies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Someone just slipped into eternity. Is this urgent? It's urgent. Imagine you're my neighbor next door and your son is swinging on the swing set. He falls off, breaks his leg. I'm cooking hamburgers on the grill. I hear a loud scream. Your child has broken his leg. And then hey, say, hey, George, you want to come over and have a hamburger before we rush to the hospital? What would you say? Come over and have a hamburger? Don't you see my son suffering? This is what? Urgent. Urgency demands what? A sacrifice. We don't stop to eat the hamburger when the boy's leg is broken. We have to get him to the hospital. And so God wants to alert us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that there is a time that we understand things are urgent. And He says, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. What if this was our Facebook page? What's your status? My meat, my strength, my nourishment is when I'm doing the will of God who sent me and finishing His work here on earth. That is exciting to me when we could say what Jesus says. So urgency requires a sacrifice of time, a sacrifice of comfort, a sacrifice of materials, a sacrifice of money. You see, if we understand that the mission goal is urgent, we need to make a sacrifice to get it done. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a fire drill, but we grew up in school and they'd have the fire drill and we had to see how many seconds we could get out of the building and get to our place. Have you been in a fire drill? Why do they do that? So in case of emergency, you can what? Save lives. Know where to go and know how to get there, know what to do. How many of you have lived in a place where you needed to prepare for natural disasters like tornadoes and hurricanes? And you have to have a plan. You have to know how to get down into the cellar in time, right? When the alarm goes off, you need to know where to go and what to do. And so there's places in our country that we know that something is urgent and you need to get on it. How many of you have ever been pregnant or had a pregnant wife and you are nearing the 9 months? And your wife wakes you up and says, what? Contractions are getting to 5 minutes. You just say, okay, wake me up in the morning. No. Once they get to 5 minutes, it's what? It's urgent. I literally took my wife to the hospital one time and they told us to go home. It wasn't time. I turned around and got her home and she almost had the baby in the garage. And so we had to go back to the hospital and this time it was urgent. And I drove my car up into the emergency room and was taking her, and they said, you can't leave your car here. I said, watch me. You can't do that. I said, watch me. This is what? Urgent. I don't care what normal people do when they come to the hospital. I have an emergency. And so we have to get it into our heads that if every 5 minutes someone is slipping off into a Christless eternity, it's an urgent thing that we have to do to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so the second point is urgency requires an emergency. Urgency requires a sacrifice. But I'm telling you, you will not get to urgency status, until you realize it's an emergency. And I want you to see what Jesus said about this. Because they were so preoccupied with food, He gave them a food illustration. Look at verse 35. Say not ye. This is important. Don't ever say this. Say not ye, there are what? There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I want you to see this picture. They're asking Jesus to sit down and eat. Jesus is watching for the women to return with all the people that He's going to preach to. And as He's talking to them, telling them, I have meat to eat that you know not of, they're coming. And He can see them coming. They're coming out of the city to the well to meet with Jesus. And He says to them, listen, don't tell me there's 4 months before the harvest. Look over here right now. The fields are white, ready to harvest. And these were people coming out to meet Jesus. And He would be prepared to preach to them. It's not time to eat. It's time to preach. It's time to harvest the souls. And so he's telling them, don't tell me there's not an emergency. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. Because today is the day that these people will believe that I am the Christ. That means salvation. Do we understand that? When you recognize that Jesus is the Christ, that equals what? Salvation. And so this was their day of salvation. This is the day they would be harvested. And it didn't take 4 months. It took a few minutes by the well for Jesus to plant the seeds in this woman. This woman went to this city and said, come and see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Messiah? The whole city comes out to Jesus, and Jesus is now ready to prove that he's the Messiah to them. And so here's the urgency. Christ was on a missions trip to save souls. And there he would preach the gospel to them and reveal to them that he is the Christ. What is our job? It's our job to train up, send out people to preach that Jesus is the Christ, so that when they believe that he's the Christ, they'll be saved. And this is the urgency that we have. And until we know this is at emergency status, we don't get excited about it. We just say, well, if they go, they go. If they don't, they don't. If it takes 4 years to raise their support, so let it be. We've got to get it to emergency status. And so urgency requires an emergency, and Jesus lays this out. Don't you say this 4 months. Can you imagine if we said a missionary comes forward, we don't have 4 months to waste with this missionary. We need to get him to the field. It would blow the missionary's mind, because we don't say there's 4 months and then comes the harvest. Sometimes, Brother Tyler, we say there's 4 years before this missionary is going to get to the mission field. 4 years! Before a man prepared, called, sent out, gets from America to the mission field. 4 years' time. There's no emergency by then. It's like, if it happens, it happens. And can I tell you, many get discouraged on the way and quit. Many get discouraged on the way and quit. And so the emergency, imagine an ambulance starts up and says, we got to get there. And halfway to the accident, he says, I'm tired, I got to go back. Call another ambulance. I'm not going. We would say, don't you understand the emergency status of this? And so we look at what Jesus says, and he says, I'm announcing to you boldly, it's now time. Look what he says in verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Can I tell you something so exciting? That whenever you're involved in an emergency effort and you rescue somebody's life, there's joy. You don't see a fireman rescue someone from a fire and he's not happy. He's happy. He's the hero of the day. A policeman stops a crime and saves someone who could possibly be killed. He's happy. You see, there's rejoicing when you save someone from a disaster. When you think of Red Cross, you know that Red Cross moves when there's a disaster, there's an emergency, and it's urgent that they get there. Red Cross can't spend 5 months figuring out what they're going to do about a disaster. They have to get there what? First response. And Red Cross understands that. The church has to get to the Red Cross status, where we see that this is an emergency and that we're not out there playing games, that literally when the gospel goes forth, it makes the difference in the person's life. Because look what Jesus said in verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth what? Fruit unto what? Life everlasting. Listen, you could save a man from a burning building and he's still going to die and go to hell. You can save a man from being robbed. You can save someone from being hurt or abused or raped. But I'm telling you that when you see a poor lost sinner receive Christ, he's saved for how long? For all eternity. And that's why the work that we're doing is the most important emergency response. And we have a high job given to us by our Father. And I want you to know that urgency requires an emergency. And I want you to know, if you'll travel around the world, you'll see emergencies everywhere. You don't have to come to Africa to see an emergency. You can go downtown Fort Worth and see an emergency. There are people that need Jesus Christ all around us. But because you look at them and they look healthy, they look fine, they look like they're okay, they're not. You can't see the burning building, but it's coming. You see, they're in jeopardy of spending eternity in hell. And they're not in the building that's on fire, but they're dead in trespasses and sin and onto the lake of fire. And they need someone who will rescue them before it's too late. And that's our job as a church, the one mission to lead people to Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, lastly, I want to look at urgency requires teamwork. Urgency requires teamwork. Look what Jesus said in verse 37. And here is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. Did you hear that? One person sows and one person reaps. Then he said, I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. And other men labor and ye are entered into their labors. This is so exciting. The best emergency response people know you must work in a team. Do you know a policeman would never get there if he didn't hear from dispatch? The ambulance would never get there if it wasn't for the 911 operator. Do we understand that? Listen, the telephone company needs to be there for the 911 operator to pick it up. There's a lot that goes into the emergency response team. And I'm telling you, as a missionary that stands before you, when people say, Brother Steve has a great ministry, Brother Steve has a great ministry, I have nothing, I have a great team. I'm just one little cog in a big team. You see, God has a great ministry. All you need to do is get plugged into that ministry. You could be here at Word Baptist Church and having a great impact in Africa because you see yourself plugged in, sacrificing, involved in, part of the team. And you can literally say, if it wasn't for me, he couldn't be there. And that's the truth. Just like the policeman, the fireman couldn't be there if the 911 operator wasn't on their job. And we've got to stop thinking, these are the heroes, these are the great people. No, every one of us has a very important job to do. It might be the fireman that mans the ladder, but the 911 operator notified him that there was a fire. And he wouldn't have been there in time if he hadn't heard the alarm. There's so many things that go into being an emergency responder. And we have to know that I love my Lord and I want to be a part of a team that's impacting the world and having an impact in the one mission. So this week, as our missionaries come, I would beg you to look at them and just ask yourself, do I want to invest in them and be part of the team? Because they want to make people know that Jesus is the Christ. Just like Jesus at the well saw all these people coming out to him, and he had one goal. He would reveal to them that he is the Christ, the Messiah, and they would believe in him, and they would have everlasting life. And we have an opportunity this week to meet people that want to go to China, people that want to go to Brazil, people that want to go to Scandinavia with this one message to tell them that Jesus is the Christ. And that takes teamwork. I'm telling you, they won't get there if we're not doing our work here. We need each other. I'm telling you, when we're on the field and we post something on Facebook and you like it and encourage it, it strengthens us. Sometimes we wonder if we're alone. Before Facebook, when I first got to Africa, I had to go 1 hour to go to a phone that I could call home. I never dreamed that in Africa I would be on location just about to preach and I can and say, pray for me, I'm about to preach at a crusade. And I can do that now. I can do that now. I can give you real-time information about what's going on in our ministry so that you feel like you're a part of it, praying with us, part of the team. And when I tell you this many people got saved, you need to know it wasn't Steve Vellante's ministry. I'm just a little cog. Just saying, here am I, Lord. Can I do this in the work of missions? Can I play my role in the work of missions? Because I know urgency requires a team. We don't get lifted up with pride when we realize we need people. We need our church. We need the prayers. We need support. And if you would realize how much the missionary needs you, you don't need to get proud about that. It just makes you feel like you know you're part of the team. And whatever happens in that missionary's ministry is part of your ministry because they can't minister without you. So we're looking to make teammates this week. And invest in teammates. And when you take your missionary booklet and you look at all the missionaries we're supporting, and you say, you know what, I don't know all these people, and I don't remember to pray for all of these people, but I'm telling you, through faithfulness and giving and serving Christ here, you're making it possible for them to do what they're doing there. You're part of their team. And they're part of your team. And Jesus said, one will sow and one will reap. But the key is, we all rejoice. Because Christ is made manifest to all. And so I want you to think about what your status. If you were to post your status, what would you say? But I know urgency demands immediate action. We have a lot of knowledge, but urgency doesn't demand knowledge. It demands action. We must be willing to do something now. I hear the youth say, when I grew up, I want to serve God. That's foolishness. Serve Him now. Serve Him now. I hear the elderly say, I'm too old to serve Christ. I'm past my prime. I'm not able. Foolishness. Serve Him now. With whatever strength you have, serve Him now. We're always putting off what needs to be done. But I want you to know, if you're an elderly person, and an elderly person beside you passed out and fell on the ground, would you look at them and say, well, I'm an elderly person. I can't do anything. Is that what you would do? You could at least call 911, right? But we like to take our hands off and say, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to sacrifice. I don't have to get involved. I'm not part of the team. That's for them. That's not for me. I haven't been saved long enough. We have to get that out of our mind. And we have to get pumping in our veins that this is urgent. There's an emergency. An emergency requires sacrifice. And if things are done in urgency, it's because there's an emergency. And I know that when there's urgency, it requires a team to meet the task that needs being done. What's your mission status? Are you single-minded in your mission? Are you engaged in reaching the world? Are you apathetic or are you energetic? Are you selfish or are you self-sacrificing? Are you divorced from the mission or are you in love with the mission? That's the question. And I beg you for a moment, the next time you get on Facebook and it says, what's your status? Ask yourself, what's your status in your relationship with Jesus Christ and your job of getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. Heavenly Father, please take these feeble words and stir up our hearts for revival. That this week we would be ready to receive our missionaries with joy and think about what we will sacrifice to get them to the field. That we will remember this is an emergency. We don't have 4 months. And that, Father, we would understand that we need to work together because no one could do this alone. The Great Commission is bigger than any one man. So, oh God, I pray that you would move us to realize our part. Please bless as Pastor comes and brings the invitation. It's in Jesus' name I pray.